And good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN on a Monday. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis, and we've got our special guest here today is Alana Parker from the Riley County Historic Museum. She's the curator of design. It's good to have you in.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us today.
Yeah, we're glad to do it. It's always fun to get caught up on history here in Riley County. I always enjoy this segment. It's one of the ones I look forward to each month.
Oh, well, thank you. And I know you're coming up. You said almost a year now you've been in Manhattan.
That's right.
The history here, I'm obviously partial, but to me, it's the best history ever. I just love learning about Riley County history. We've got some incredible stories in our incredible community here.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking a little bit about before the program, just how much fun this area is with regards to history, especially in the 19th century. And that's kind of the topic here we're going to cover a little bit today.
Yes, we are very excited. We have, and I'm sure many of the listeners might be familiar, we have what we call the Hartford House, and it is one of the 10 to 14 prefabricated homes that came aboard the Hartford steamboat here to Manhattan, and this was in spring of 1855. But that Hartford House is now, as of September 2019, it is listed on the National Register. So we are very excited about that, and it is just an incredible piece of history. We love to be able to bring students into the Hartford House for them to get a sense of what life was like in territorial Kansas and in the community that would become Manhattan. So I'll describe this house a little bit. It is a one-room house. So these prefabricated homes, when that steamboat, I guess I should back up from the beginning. So that Hartford steamboat, it left Cincinnati, Ohio, and that was in 1855. And it took about a month-long trip to get here from Cincinnati to what would become Manhattan. So this steamboat, the man who financed it was actually from New York, was one of the financiers. And so they're on their way to start a town near Junction City. Well, they didn't make it to Junction City. They actually got stuck around what was the settlement of New Boston, which many are familiar with Isaac Goodnow. That was Isaac Goodnow and his group. That was their settlement. So this would have been June 1st, 1855. This steamboat gets stuck around New Boston. It took 4 days for them to come to an agreement where they would combine forces, and so under the condition that they would rename the town Manhattan. And so, as I mentioned, one of the gentlemen who financed that steamboat trip was from Manhattan, New York, so that is where we get the name of Manhattan here, so for what we refer to now as our Little Apple.
That is just great. I didn't know that, and I just learned something new that I can go tell my kids later here today.
Okay, Brandon, there's one aspect about the name Manhattan that's also very important. I don't know, Alana, do you know this? The Native American term that Manhattan comes from?
Go ahead. You tell it, Dave.
Okay, and I can't remember exactly how to say the term, but it's got like two or three extra syllables. But it stands for the Native American language up there. This is from like the 1600s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The island where we all got drunk.
Oh, dear.
Have you never heard that before?
I
have it in
a
trivia book, not a history book, but a trivia book. I don't know what their source is. But there's this book. It's like 5,087 trivia questions.
Uh-huh.
And the book is about 2.5 feet thick, and it's right there
oh,
in the middle
gosh.
Of it.
I'm going to have to look that one up, too.
I'm going to have to find that. I'll see if I can find that book for you.
But that's a great addition there.
Oh, it is.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
Great history.
And here all along you thought that was just Aggieville.
Yeah, that's going to be on my priority list today to look that up.
So before it was named Manhattan, then this was called New Boston?
New Boston. And there were a couple smaller settlements. Canton was one, and Polistra, which there's a street named Polistra,
right.
But two other gentlemen that started settlements there. But it really all came together to become this town of Manhattan in 1855. So this steamboat, as I mentioned, had about 10 to 14 prefabricated homes on it, had about 100 passengers. There was not a formal list of passengers that we have been able to uncover yet. And unfortunately, we do not have, and you know, it might be out there somewhere, but a historical photograph of that Hartford. But to give it some perspective, if you've ever heard of the Arabia Steamboat Museum or been there in Kansas City, one of my favorite museums, that was that steamboat that they uncovered in a cornfield in the 1980s. And you see everything they brought on that steamboat. It was very comparable to what was brought here to Manhattan aboard the Hartford steamboat, except the Arabia had two prefab homes. So we had about 10 to 14. So you could buy one of these prefab homes, $80 is what it would cost you in 1855. So today that buying power would be about $2,500 is what that buying power would be today. But so for that $80, it included your floors, walls, windows, ceiling, and door. And as I mentioned, the one that we have is one room, large enough for a bed. And we do have stories. In particular, I mentioned Julia Lovejoy. We were talking earlier. Julia Lovejoy was one of those pioneers who came out here in 1855 and kept a very thorough diary of her trip out here to Manhattan. And she actually, in her diary, references she lived in one of those Hartford houses.
And what was the reason, before we move along here, why the prefabricated houses? Why not just build a house out here?
That is a great question. So, when you think of, we see our environment today of what Manhattan looks like. It's very tree-filled now. When you came here in 1855, there were not very many trees around, so lumber was not available. The railroad did not come through Manhattan until 1866, so you had to use what was around you in the environment. So that's why you see a lot of limestone homes, or as in the case of the Hartford, you bring your prefab home with you. So you could just put up, purchase your home, purchase the lumber, and put up your home that way. But to imagine, and it's incredible if you look at some of the photographs, the early photographs of Manhattan, really how treeless it was. And as I mentioned, it's hard to imagine today. Even when I drive by Bluemont Hill, you see how many trees are there today. Well, that was at one point a treeless hill. So that is why it'd be important for these trips out west. You would have to bring the materials you needed with you.
And are they sturdy homes? Because, you know, one thing that maybe they didn't think about was tornadoes.
Right. Well, and so, as I mentioned, you have, I would say these were, they're frame homes. They are true 2x4s. So the Hartford house that we have, you can see the original studs in the floor. And they call it a balloon house, and that's the style of frame house. But it's probably not any sturdier. You know, those limestone homes that we see quite frequently are going to be a lot sturdier. And then, of course, when you come out here in 1855, commonly you might build a sod house. As I mentioned, Isaac and Ellen Goodnow, who came out here in 1855, originally that was the style of home they lived in, was a little sod cabin by Wildcat Creek. And, of course, we're very familiar. We've been talking about Wildcat Creek frequently. So right behind the car museum in that area was where that house that Isaac and Ellen originally lived in was a dugout home. So I think when you compare, I don't know if you'd rather live in a sod house or if you'd rather live in one of these little Hartford houses. And we could talk a little bit, as I mentioned, Julia Lovejoy talks about what it's like to live in one of those houses here in 1855.
What's the square footage of one of those?
Well, square footage, it was 14 foot by 18 foot. Is okay. the dimensions that we have of our Hartford house. Some of them you could have a double wide, and I don't know if they brought any of those on the Hartford steamboat, but it's not too much bigger than the room we're in right now. Hmm. And of course, if you have kids are sleeping on the floor. That's what I love bringing students into this house. They look around, they ask you, where's the restroom? Which is always a really fun topic for kids.
That's that other building.
Yes.
Yeah. You see the tree out back?
How badly do I have to go?
Yes. Well, they see that little pot under the bed, and I need to start keeping a list of all, you know, you ask them what they think it is. I've heard a cookie jar or cookie pot. So it's always a lot of fun to take students in there, and you hope it allows them to appreciate a little bit more of the conveniences, the modern conveniences we have today. Running water, heat. We do have a wood-burning stove in there that you can see, but you've got kerosene lighting. Julia Lovejoy, though, if we have time to kind of introduce her a little bit. So she came out here, 1855, and I want to mention the trip coming out to Kansas. It would take about 3 weeks to come here. So in particular, and as I mentioned, Manhattan was a free state community. It was mostly founded by free staters and abolitionists, and she was one of them. And her husband, Charles, came out here earlier with their 17-year-old son. And so Julia came out not long after, and the trip, so, and this is also goes for Ellen Goodnow, left Boston to Albany, New York. From Albany, New York, went to Buffalo, and this is by train. Then they crossed Lake Erie to Detroit. From Detroit, took another train to Chicago, and then took another train down. They went to Alton, Illinois. You get on a steamboat, and you have to imagine also how you're packing, the things that you're able to bring with you. So from that steamboat, then went to Kansas City, and from Kansas City, then took a wagon out to what would become Manhattan. And I love it in Julia's diary. She talks about arriving in Kansas City. She describes it as a desolate place. If you can imagine Kansas City today, the fact that she would refer to it as a desolate place is pretty interesting.
That's crazy. I think a lot of people from the big cities out east would still say that Kansas City has nothing, but... That's neither here nor there. Well, that's interesting, and you know the mode of travel by steamboat, that's something that was very prominent in that time of day.
Yes, and not many of them were very successful on the rivers. And when you drive over, of course, our rivers have changed a little bit. And in fact, the original path of the river here, where Tuttle Creek Boulevard is today, that's essentially the course of the river. So flooding changes the river, but they had about 3 feet. Of depth, these steamboats on the bottom. So they're not taking up a lot of distance, but they would get stuck on those sandbars very easily. So the story of the Hartford steamboat, so I'm kind of jumping around here in this story, I apologize. So that steamboat lets off the passengers and they get settled there, and it's actually on its way back to Cincinnati. Well, it didn't make it back to Cincinnati. It actually got stuck around St. Mary's. Somehow the steamboat caught on fire, and it burned. So what was salvaged from there was the bell from the Hartford steamboat. So a Methodist minister from Manhattan went out to that site, salvaged the bell, and hung it in the Methodist church here in Manhattan for many years. And then it's at the Riley County Historical Museum now in the lobby, hanging there in the lobby. And that's one of the few remnants of what was on board the Hartford steamboat.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty amazing. It's a large, large bell. You come into the lobby, you can't miss it. But we also have some smaller pieces that came, like I mentioned, doorknobs, those types of hardware pieces that you would need, personal effects that people would bring. We have some of those in the Riley County Historical Society collection that came on the Hartford steamboat.
Wow. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Lana Parker from the Riley County Historical Museum. Talking Hartford House here today on News Radio KMAN.